So hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and we're here today on our fourth session talking about visualization. This is exciting. I've got, one of the sort of the hallmark of what I do as a coach and what you can do as coaches as well is to work with your clients using this powerful visualization technique. And not just a canned approach, but it's something that's really customized for each client, and that allows you to, attract higher quality clients and be able to raise your fees and keep clients with you longer because you're doing something special that no one else is doing out there in terms of customizing their experience. So I found that it really is something that has been really powerful in my practice. And what I've the foundation of what I built my coaching practice on. So it's something I want to share with you, not just the what and the why, but all the hows, how to actually do the visualization techniques and what to do if problems come up and what about their reactions, all of that kind of stuff, so that you really get a full understanding. So, I'm glad that you're working with your practice client and doing your some of you sent your visualization pre-assessment, and that's great. So those of you who sent those, I wanted to use that today. Christo sent his, and TJ, I can use yours as an example of how to do a visualization for your clients. And then if you can also make a second appointment with your practice client this week for sometime after today when you actually do the visualization with them. You can record it. That would be the best, using Audacity or whatever software you might have. Or if for some reason you don't have it set up, you can just go ahead and do a visualization anyway with them just to practice it and then work on getting the recording software set up so you can also record it too. That's really a great way to do it, and that's what can then you can start building up a file of these visualizations, and that really makes a huge difference with your clients. They really appreciate that, being able to record it. So to get the Audacity, you just go to soundforge.audacity.net. Or the other way around, audacity.soundforge.net, and just I emailed you some instructions how to use Audacity, so hopefully that's helpful as well. And then you can go through the tutorials there, and any high school kids that you know, they're great with this stuff. They really understand technology. Or anyone under 30, you can ask to help you, and I'll try to get more information to you this week too. Maybe more training materials on that. So another announcement I wanted to make real quick is an opportunity to where you can partner with me and with this Performing Edge Coach International program with becoming an affiliate. Now that you're part of this program, you can. I'll send you an email this week with a sign-up link if you're interested, and it's free, and it's a great way to make easy passive income by just putting a link on your website now that you've been part of this program and you know what the quality of what is delivered. And hopefully you would be happy to, if you'd like to recommend this to other people, maybe you know other students who've been through programs who, aren't getting the kind of training they need, or if you know of people or people just on, that go to your website or just you could, if you don't have a website, you can just send out an email to other colleagues or friends who might be interested, then it's your unique link. What you do is you just will click on the link that I send you. It's a sign-up link, and then I'll send you, you're given a unique affiliate link so that anyone who clicks on your link will be tracked directly back to you. And then I have another course coming up starting April 21st, so just in 4 weeks. When that starts, when they sign up for the course, then I pay you 30% of the course fee. So it's a great way to just by helping get the word out there to create our Performing Edge community and share the the good word and be able to help other people to get this kind of information. And so I just wanted to invite you to become a partner with me in that program, and I'll send you a link for that if you're interested. So I think Sue's already doing that and other people, so it's great, great way to just get the word out about this training. So let's get started with our training today. We've got, I want to talk to you first about, and then I'll give you a study guide afterward where you can review all the information about what we talked about today. So, get to my notes here. What I want to talk to you about today is how to create visualization, all the steps that I go through to actually create the your visualization for your clients, the visualization process. So I've got, 30 years experience working with almost every type of client and every type of challenge, and I've seen how powerful this visualization process is. So I want to teach you how you can do this. And so the first part is kind of the value and the benefits of Performing Edge Coaching, that visualization process, so that you understand that, and then you can explain it to your clients as well. The first thing is the reason we want to do visualization is because it's experiential. It really provides your client with a tangible experience. So most clients come in and they're expecting just to talk about their issues and their concerns, and talking is sort of a left brain activity, but it doesn't really create change often in people's behavior. But visualization is a right brain activity, and it really gets people into that right side of the thinking that is more comprehensive. It's the right brain is more creative and sees the big picture and is open to new information. So when you get people relaxed and into the right brain, into visualizing, then you can create real new insights, real transformation, real change. So it's an experience that clients get from you that they can't get from anyone else. And the second benefit is that it's a new learning mode. I think it allows them to have a new way of learning about themselves that they haven't been exposed to before. So, or perhaps they know about visualization and they say, oh, yeah, it's a good idea to visualize, but they don't really know the steps of how to do it. So you're giving them those specific steps, which they really will appreciate from you. And the third benefit is, I think, relationship. It really quickly builds trust with you as their coach, because they realize that you can do something for them that no one else can do, take them into this other world almost, as far as being using visualization to create change in their lives. So right away, I find within the first session, people are wanting to come back for a second session because we've built this powerful relationship through the visualization exercise. They've gone. It's kind of like, when you go on vacation with someone. I was just on vacation last week with my partner, my friend Bill, and my boyfriend Bill, and we both were down at Santa Barbara, and we were just sitting on the shoreline, and we both saw these dolphins in the water, and all of a sudden we saw this one dolphin dive out of the water, huge dive, completely clearing the water by about 10 feet. And this wasn't at SeaWorld. This was just live. And we both saw that at the same time, and it created this incredible experience because we both experienced it together. And the same thing with your visualization for your clients is you can go through this experience, and when you are both experiencing the visualization together, it builds that relationship. The fourth area is positioning. This visualization process allows you to position yourself, elevates you to the position of an expert coach in this area. You're really doing something that is special, that sets you apart from other coaches. The fifth thing that this does is transformation. I think it's a powerful process that is often life-changing for clients, even in the first session. I mean, it's just amazing what I've seen happen, where usually if a client is stuck, let's say a baseball player, stuck in a slump, you know, that all of a sudden the next week they're reporting that, you know, they can do these amazing hits or pitches that they could, getting back to their old self again. Usually, I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but I'd say 50 to 70% of the time I get those kinds of reports that they've made a transformational change just in that first session. So that's what makes it so powerful. And the sixth benefit is, of course, the MP3 audio file. It gives you something. You can give your client this physical product, a specific exercise that they can practice throughout their lifetime. So they have something they can take home with them. If you give them a CD, if they're in your office, I'll give them the physical CD. Or if they're doing this by phone, then I email them the MP3 file. So it gives them something that they can use not only for this next week, but actually for the rest of their lives. It's incredibly powerful. So that's the benefits of visualization, that process. Now, the timing, I want to talk to you about the next category here, is when should you do the first visualization exercise? I think often I do it in the first session. Not always, but as long as the client is open and ready and seems like we've had a good conversation, then I'll go ahead and do the visualization in that first session. So you need to make sure you've built a rapport with them first. Rapport, and then the second thing is connection. Once you feel like you have this good connection with your client. And third, timing. I think at about the middle or three quarters of the way through the session is when I'll do a visualization after I've talked with them, done an assessment, and gone through explaining what visualization is all about. Then I'll go ahead and do the visualization at the end. And then you want to leave a little bit of time at the end for debriefing and for them to talk about their experience. So don't do it right at the end, but leave a time to have them go through and reflect on their experience and then give them an assignment to do. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to let you know this week, speaking of assignments, you can go ahead and read Chapter 7 in the book, which is the next chapter there, and I'll send you some questions on that, which is on power words, positive self-talk. That'll be a great chapter for you to read this week. Now, the fourth area with timing is introduction. You want to do the visualization after you've discussed and described the process to your client. So, you know, right after that, not just jump right into it. And then also the fifth thing is after you've done the visualization pre-assessment, like most of you have done this week with your clients. You want to do that first, ask them about their peak experience or whatever it is you want to work on for it. You can do visualizations on so many topics and areas. If the client's coming in with a particular fear or issue that's coming up or a competition, or let's say they're getting over an injury, then you can still, no matter what the issue is, I think it's always good to start with this particular type of peak experience visualization, because it gets them back to a positive place. And everyone has some kind of peak experience or some time when they felt really good about themselves. And that's a really good place to start, where it gets them out of the sort of negative mode that they may be in, where that's the reason they're coming to you. And it gets them into this totally different mindset of feeling positive, feeling confident, feeling a sense of hope. So it's good to try to get that in on the first session. And you'd only not do it in the first session if I have a few comments about that. If a client is, let's say, in a crisis, they're very upset, they're very emotional, and they've got a lot to talk about, they just couldn't focus on it, then you can just save that for the second session. If a client is, like, say, highly anxious or fearful, then you might want to wait until the next session. If a client seems to be highly resistant or not trusting of you or of the process, then you want to take some time to build that trust first. And or if for some reason the client is angry about a situation, then that they might not be able to settle down enough to do a visualization that first time. So in those cases, it's best to just have the client talk through their process, their feelings during that session, and then do the visualization the next time around, or when they get to a point where they're more relaxed and comfortable with you and with the process. Now, the third area is formula. The third area I want to talk about is my formula for actual how I do the visualization process from start to finish. So the first thing is, this is sort of the meat of our discussion today, and I want to talk a little bit about first what I do to prepare you and prepare the client for this process. So what you want to do first is describe the visualization process to your client, and you know, just in simple terms. You don't have to do a lecture, of course, but just talk with them about how visualization is just a simple way of using your imagination to create what you want in your life. You can use a lot of the description that's in chapter 6 of the book that you read this week. So that would be good to just, you know, use. A lot of, some people think, well, is this hocus pocus? Is this hypnosis? Or is this some kind of magical process? And you want to sort of simplify it so that you say it's just a matter of relaxing, and that you might use the left brain analogy, that when we're most of the time during the day we're using our left brain, which is that logical, analytical side that gets us through, you know, filing our taxes this time of year and doing checkbooks. And that's very useful, but it's also tends to be our inner critic, and that part that gets in the way, gets in the way of peak performances and second guesses us all the time. We're overanalyzing things. So visualization is a way to get into your right brain. You can tell them that part that is more creative and the part that allows you to it's the part that's wired up for new information. So if you can get into a relaxed state and then visualize, simply, you know, create a picture in your mind of something that you want to achieve, that's a great way to describe it to people. Then they can, you know, easily understand that it's something that they can, that something everyone can do. So you want to just simplify it. And then you want to answer their questions, you know, clear up any misconceptions. If they think, they're asking, well, is this hypnosis? Or something like that. Usually I say, if they have some negative conceptions of hypnosis, I say that it's not, it's different than hypnosis in that some people feel like with hypnosis they're losing control, and with visualization it's something that you control entirely yourself. So I just tell them that it's something that you can do easily, and it's just a matter of relaxing your mind and body, and then just being able to create pictures in your mind of what you want. So it's you are in control of your visualization yourself. And then I will, you know, ask them if they have any other questions, and then I'll also I want to prepare the client, instruct them, especially if they're on the phone. You want to have the client focus on their visualization and avoid multitasking. So there's so many different ways that people can multitask these days, as you well know. There can be pagers going off, cell phone, people texting them, emails on the computer, Facebook, Twitter, and you have no idea when you're talking with someone on the phone if they're trying to do five different things at once, and which makes it very difficult to focus on visualization. So you want to instruct them specifically to turn off their computer, or turn off the computer screen, you know, turn off their any other distractions so that they can really focus on the visualization with you. So once you do that, if they're in the office with you, of course, then it's much easier. You know what they're doing. And then you can ask them to also have, if they have a headset, that's even better, so they can sit back in the chair and relax and don't have to hold the phone up physically with their hand. So also what I'll do is during the pre-visualization, that assessment that you just did with the client, when they're talking with me on the phone, I'll be typing in. It's always better, I think, if you actually give them those questions verbally rather than rather than, you know, have them fill out a form, because you'll get a lot more information, and then you can ask them follow-up questions as well. So oftentimes the client will give me, you know, positive images and negative thoughts at the same time, you know, because that's what happens in life. You know, well, this happened, and then something else happened and that wasn't so good, and they'll mix in, you know, the positive stuff with the negative stuff. So what I'll do is I want to get everything down on paper that they're saying, but I don't want to include the negative content in the visualization. So I'll just put parentheses. Whenever they say something that's negative, then like TJ, I know with the visualization you presented with Tom, you talked about a knee body pain that he had. So if that would happen, I would put in parentheses around the negative content as I'm typing, so I'll know not to use that part in the visualization. Because if you do use the negative part, then, you know, the right brain tends to take in everything literally, and the right brain will, you know, tend to amplify that negative stuff in your brain. So you want to just be able to not only use the positive stuff. Or if they give you something negative, you want to be able to turn it around into a positive statement of some sort. So that's just a good idea. For instance, you know, here with TJ, I'll just use you as an example here with Tom. Let's see, you were saying that, you know, the Newport, Oregon Marathon, it was and you were saying, you know, I'm there with my wife, who has been very supportive of me. I had trained like a madman, really pushed myself, although it wasn't satisfying at the time. I was constantly disappointed in my training times. So during that part, I would put that in parentheses, because it's, you know, that's something you want to know about, but not include in the visualization. And then I always put the entire process into the present tense. So, of course, they're telling it to you in the past tense. But, for instance, I would say, you know, if I was doing a visualization for Tom, I would say, you know, it's the morning of the New York Oregon Marathon, and I've trained really hard, and I'm there with my wife, who's very supportive. She is giving me good encouragement right now. I know I've trained really hard. I pushed myself. I'm disciplined, and I've done the workouts I need to do. The day we previewed the course, it's very helpful. I know what to expect. The night before, we're relaxing in the evening, having some pasta. I'm very relaxed. I'm doing my normal night stuff. And I know I'm a little anxious. It's a good anxiousness, a good nervousness. It always happens before a race when I have a definite goal. This anxiety is a motivator for me. I'm focused on the goal, qualifying for Boston. The mixture of being anxious and being determined gives me energy and feeling confident. That confidence and determination is helping me overcome any rough patches in the race. So you see, I was just giving a little example there, TJ, of how I would, that gives you a lot of examples, actually, of, you know, how I'm putting it in the present tense. I'm slowing down my voice. I'm, you know, allowing a little bit of time. I'm reading what the information I have here, but it's almost as if I'm saying a phrase, and then I'm going dot, 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 phrase, dot, dot, dot. So I'm making sure that I pause in between each phrase. So you give the person, the right brain, a chance to take it all in. It's just much more effective that way than if you're just reading something very quickly. So So just very slow and relaxed. It gives you a chance to do a visualization too. You know, one of the things, that's my favorite part of doing a session with a client, is actually doing the visualization for them, because it's such a special experience and it gives you a chance to relax and really get in. It's like you're both taking a journey somewhere. So it's just a very exciting process. Now, I wanted to go into a few other things about what to do with preparation for the visualization. First, with you when you're working with your clients. First, you want to, for orienting the client, go over the steps for imagery, which, you know, with the client in the book, and you're Performing Edge Chapter 6, which is on page 71. So it would be good to, you know, just go over those steps there. The you know, how you want to be in the present tense, and how you want to do breathing and centering, and then imaging, creating your image, and then sensing, bringing all five senses into the experience, anchoring. You know, only looking at the positive models, that sort of thing. So go through all of that a little bit with them, just the steps, and that will give them an idea of what you're going to be doing with the visualization. That can be helpful for a client, just so they know what they'll be going through, and it kind of demystifies the experience. And then I would say to them, you know, answer their questions and put your client at ease. I'd say you are in control of your imagery. You can imagine whatever you like. And then I would say, you know, the substitution is fine too. I'd say to the client, you can use any images that are helpful for you. And if I say something in the visualization that doesn't fit for you, then you can just substitute your own imagery. That's fine. Anything that you that's right for you is what you need to do. So that gives them the flexibility to be able to create their own images, no matter what I say. And then, of course, at the very end of the imagery, I'll always ask them, did I say anything that was incorrect or anything you'd like me to do differently next time? So they can help me to customize the visualization for them. And then I'll also give them a signal. This is helpful, too, to give your client a signal to stop if necessary. Like, who knows, let's say you're on the phone with them and, you know, somebody comes to the door, delivery man, and they have to leave for a moment. You know, let them know if we need to stop for some reason, or if at any time you feel uncomfortable, just give me your signal, or you can speak up and just let me know we need to stop for a moment, and tell them that's okay for them to say that. If they're in the office, I'll just do, like, I'll tell them, lift a finger for me to let me know that you want to stop. Like, for instance, a client, you might get into something, and it may remind a client of a traumatic experience or something they are scary for them, that they don't, a place they don't want to go to, and they just feel a need to stop. It's rarely happened. I think in my 20, 30 years of doing this, maybe it's only happened once or twice that somebody needs to stop. And so I used to work at a inpatient hospital situation, and so if where women had been traumatized, so sometimes they might have a little difficulty getting into a visualization. But most of the time, I think you'll find that people are just fine with what you're doing. But it's good to give them a signal that you can stop if you need to, and that helps them to feel comfortable. And if there is any interruptions, let's say, I don't know, a client has a child in the background they need to attend to all of a sudden, then you want to say that it's okay to tell you to stop. So that's that's information on the preparation for the visualization. And then now I wanted to go into how to begin your visualization, some information for you as a coach, and how to do the visualization. So the first thing is the mindset. I think you want to imagine that you are taking a journey along with your client into their world. So it's really important to not just be reading words or to, you know, think to have them going through this experience, but, you know, you're not just commenting, but you want to picture yourself being right there and experiencing all the sensations, all the feelings, all the excitement, the same, having the same achievement that your client is having. And I can't emphasize this enough, how important this is. It's like you, the more that you can get into the experience along with them, then the better your visualization exercise will be and the better your MP3 recording will be for your client to use for the rest of your life, for the rest of their life. So, you know, because this is something, you know, you're making for them that is such an incredible gift. I mean, I've had clients come back to me 5 years later and say, wow, Dr. Joanne, I've been using the visualization you made for me, that MP3 file, the custom peak performance exercise is something I've been using for 5 years. And even now they'll say it created a new peak experience for me, you know, 5 or 10 years later. So you'll find that your clients are using this kind of tool that you're creating for them many years later and throughout their lifetime. So if you get into the experience yourself, just imagine you're there, and that's why you want to learn as much as you can ahead of time in the pre-visualization assessment. If there's something you don't understand or something you want them to elaborate on, then go ahead and ask them as many questions as you can to go deep into their peak experience so you understand it and you can use their language, the way they see it, the way they understand it. It makes it much more powerful experience for them. So now that the mindset is the first thing I wanted to give you. And, pacing is the second area where I want you to, when you're doing your visualization, you want your voice, just as I was demonstrating with TJ's client there, with your TJ's assessment with Tom, you want to have a nice slow pace, a relaxed tone, and allow space between each phrase so that, you know, the right brain can take in all the information. And so it's just it also allows for creating more relaxation and, you know, getting the client into a deeper state when you do that slower pace. And you want to vary your pitch so it's not just a monotone, but it's more of a natural conversational style. So it's like, imagine like you're telling a story. You know, like you'd read a story to a child where your voice would be animated and going up and down and imagining yourself there. And if you're on the phone with someone, I know you might think it's difficult to do this when you can't actually see the person, but if you could imagine, you know, put a picture out in front of you almost of your client, or you can put a picture on your screen of the client, so you're actually talking to them, then that can help. So it's like you're really, you know, connecting with this person through your voice, through the visualization. So, yeah, you want to make it nice and slow and just really getting into the experience. And the next thing I want to talk about is tense. You want to speak in the present tense. So even though the client's experience is in the past, as I was mentioning before, you want to relay it as though it's happening right now. So whenever you see the, you know, something written out, I was feeling good, you want to change that to I am feeling good. And you can use your own words, your own phrases to enhance those that experience as well. So just to always speak in the present tense, just bring it right into right here, right now, because that makes it much more powerful for the client. And then in terms of content for your visualization, your content can include all kinds of things, actually. The main content would be, of course, reading your client's notes or referring to your client's notes from your visualization pre-assessment, like you've all done. And then a second would be, you know, you can add your own commentary. You can add your own phrases to enhance the experience. So other words that you want to add in to make it even more powerful. And then another thing, you can include phrases from the Your Performing Edge book, Chapter 2, on page 30. That's a powerful list of, on page 30, I list there in the book Athletic Expressions for the Optimal Experience. So that's in chapter 2. On page 30, there's, you know, a series of phrases there that are really powerful that I've written down. These are phrases that I've gathered from my interviews and work with clients all over the world in a variety of different sports, and they talk about the performing edge experience and being in the zone. So, for instance, I would say to them, I could relay some of these phrases during the visualization. I would say, you know, you are strong and powerful. You're physically relaxed and mentally focused. You are calm and at peace. You're feeling light and fluid. You're optimistic and positive. You're tuned in to the moment right now. You have that acute awareness of everything going on within you and around you. You're feeling natural and spontaneous. This is so much fun and enjoyable. You are embracing the task at hand. You are energized. You have absolute composure. You are fully alive. Your body is on automatic pilot with effortless speed. You are feeling invincible right now. You have total self-confidence. You are floating with ease. You are completely engaged with what you're doing. In perfect control, and you have an ideal sense of well-being. You are in the zone, and everything falls into place for you now. So those are some examples of phrases that I might use during a visualization. And you notice how I emphasize the word you throughout that, throughout reading those phrases. And I think that's really a great technique to bring the client into the experience. And then you can use their name as well during that time so that they are, you know, they really feel like you are talking to them. So then I go through the steps to taking your client through the visualization. You know, you have them doing their relaxation and breathing. And nice, easy breathing. And then I would have them focus on your center, you know, breathing in through your... First, breathing in through the abdomen. This is, you want to take an appropriate amount of time with this step, and it's dependent on their age group, the client's age group too, their energy level that day, and also their level of trust with you. So, for instance, with younger clients that are in high school or junior high, they're going to be a higher energy level generally and more with less patience, and so... and more, you know, just wanting to, let's get to it kind of thing. A lot of times they'll request, let's just do a visualization for 5 minutes. And so I'll do one that's just much shorter, and I don't take too long to do the breathing and centering part, but get right into the visualization because they're, you know, have just a whole different energy level than adults do. Now, with adults, I'll take maybe, you know, a few between 2 and 5 minutes to do the breathing and centering part because it might they prefer more time to get relaxed and to get focused and they have more patience as far as being able to do this process first. With the high school kids, usually the first time, I want to get right into, you know, the visualization, and then they understand the process, they understand how powerful this is. After that, I can... the next visualization, I can take more time to have them breathe slowly and deeply and get into a relaxed mode. So we've got relaxing and breathing. You want to have them take 5 deep abdominal breaths, and I'll actually demonstrate to them putting my hand on the abdomen a couple inches below the belly button. Some people don't, some people are really into deep breathing. Maybe they've taken yoga, so they understand how to do the breathing process. other people don't. They don't have any experience with this, so you want to make sure they understand it and put your hand a couple inches below your belly button, and then I'll say, see how I breathe into my hand and my stomach is coming out. If they're in the office there, I can actually demonstrate to them my stomach is coming out further. I breathe in, and then as I breathe out, you know, the stomach comes back down. And so you want to tell them it's not just through the chest at the top. Usually, and I'll explain to them that when we're anxious and nervous, usually most of our breathing is through the chest. We're kind of doing these short, shallow breaths and demonstrate that it's only through the chest. And the problem is that, you know, we're only getting in half as much air as we need. And that's what happens, like, right before a race when people are standing at the starting line, or any competition before a soccer game or a squash game, or a hockey game. You know, Nicole, I know you're working with hockey players, and so they're everybody's into, you know, breathing really fast and short through the chest. But what that does, you're not getting enough oxygen to the brain, only half as much, and half as much oxygen in your body. So you're not thinking as clearly. So if you can do those five deep abdominal breaths through your abdomen, and imagine the air going all the way down through your chest to the abdomen, then it's going to get them a lot more relaxed so they can focus on your visualization. And you as the coach should do the breathing abdominally along with the client. So if you can do it and demonstrate for them, even if it's on the phone, you know, they can hear your breathing. You know, do it into your microphone so they can hear that you're breathing deeply. Then that helps you sort of pace them and model for them what you want them to be doing. So then I'll have them breathe slowly and deeply, and then sometimes I'll have them do the centering, a next step, actually breathing in through your nose, focusing in your center a couple inches behind your belly button, and then breathing out through your mouth and relax, and just letting go of unwanted energy and thoughts and images. So that can help as well, to take a few centering breaths like that, where you're focusing on the breathing in through your nose, focusing on your center, so you're really centering your body. And then I'll say, as you breathe out all the tension out through your fingertips and toes. Imagine there's tiny valves or openings at the ends of your fingertips and toes, and all the unwanted thoughts, unwanted energy and images are going out through that, your fingertips and toes. So that lets them know they always have a way of processing and letting go of the things that they don't want. It's a very comforting kind of feeling. And then you've got, then the next step is, of course, doing the imaging of the experience, going through the client's experience, and you want to speak in the present tense, as we were talking about, and go through their entire experience, what happened before and during and after their peak experience. You can, you know, refer to the visualization pre-assessment that you did, and just take out the key phrases that they have been using throughout that experience. So, for instance, I'll just go through a couple other steps, and I want to give you an example of that. Sensing, then the next step is sensing, bringing in all five senses into the experience. So you want to give examples of each of the senses. So saying, you know, for your visual sense, imagine who's there, imagine what you're wearing, imagine the color of the sky if you're outside, and then bringing in your auditory sense. Hear the sounds of the people around you. Hear your breathing. And kinesthetic sense, can you feel the wind on your face and the power in your legs and your arms? So give some examples so they know what to imagine, and then they can fill in the blanks and create their own experience from that. Those are the three most powerful, is visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. And then you can bring in smell and taste as well if you like. The smell is very powerful in terms of bringing back memories. And then anchoring is a great thing. Once you get into that experience, after they are toward the end of the visualization, you want them to ask them to create a color, a shape, or a word, or a physical gesture. Works really well. Something to remember that experience by. So if they can remember something in that experience, maybe it was a red rose somebody was carrying. Maybe it was a the in a marathon, maybe it was the end of the finish line, what that looked like, their time on the clock. If it was a gesture, maybe it's putting both hands up into the air, or the okay sign, or the clapping their hands. Physical gesture is the most powerful if you can get them to remember something that they did at the time they were having that peak experience. That would be great. If they can't remember anything, then they can create something in their mind that they associate with that experience afterward. So have them create an anchor, and then you always want to remember, have them remember that, and then ask them at the end, what was your anchor, so you can write it down, so you can refer to it in this and other visualizations and use it in the future. And then when you finish, depending on the situation, I'll have them come back in the room, say, slowly walk up, imagine walking up a set of stairs from 1 to 5, feeling refreshed and recharged, alert and awake. And when you're ready, open your eyes and come back into the room. And so I'll, depending on what the client's choice is, I can put that on the tape, or sometimes I'll stop the recording and I won't record that part, so that they can use this visualization to go to sleep at night too, and then they don't have to have the coming back into the room part. They just drift off into sleep. So that can work really well, also. So those are some examples of how to take the client through the visualization process. And I know Christo from South Africa wrote in, I want to use his the pre-visualization, his assessment as an example. He's actually working with the number one squash player who is under 17 in South Africa. His first name is Ruan, and he gave me sent in his visualization, the pre-assessment here. So I want to give an example of how I would take this and create a visualization from it. So, of course, he's writing it in the, it was the semifinals of the Free State Open Squash Tournament. And, very exciting. So this is like an elite athlete, number one squash player in South Africa, who's under 17 category. So you don't necessarily have to understand all the technical terms even of that the client is giving you. Sometimes if it's a sport, let's say a very technical sport like diving or shooting, there might be all kinds of things that they know and technical terms that they are using that you might not understand, but it's important to write them down and just use them in your visualization, because they have a lot of meaning to the client. And make sure that you get the terms as correct as possible so that they are meaningful to the client. So, for instance, with Christo's client, Ruan, I would say he's got his examples here, and I would, his answers were rather short in the on the assessment. So, Christo, for just a little bit of feedback for you, I would say, like during the actual, the middle of the experience, that's, in the assessment, when you're talking about that and asking the client about the actual, the middle of the experience, when things were really happening, there isn't too much information here on the assessment. So you'd want to try to get more information about what actually happened during the game, what happened next during the middle. He said, I just played, which is great. A lot of times, athletes don't even remember what happened. They're so in the zone. They just played, and that's it. But if you can get more information from him about, like, tell me about one particular set or one particular play, what was the other guy doing? What were you doing? What was your best hit? Tell me the play-by-play. That's a good sentence to use, the play-by-play, the blow-by-blow. exactly the slow motion. Bring it into slow motion for me so that you, I can understand, you know, one, like just one little section, one piece of your playing. And that way you get more of their words, more the way that they described it, so that you can use that. You know, like the way, tell me the way the racket felt when you're hitting the ball, or the paddle felt when you're hitting the ball. Tell me